Hey guys, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Krav Maga Experts Podcast. Today we will talk about Imi Lichtenfeld, who was, according to the IKMF website and books by Eyal Danilov and Darren Levine, the founder of Krav Maga. And we'll talk about him in order to understand a bit more the roots and the evolution of Krav Maga. So a lot of the things we're going to talk about are referenced from many books, websites, past interviews, official documents. We want to get the most accurate and detailed information as possible, of course. So let's dive right in.
You're listening to the Krav Maga Experts. Keep connected to hear about training tips, interviews, and historical and cultural facts of the Israeli self-defense system.
So, Imi Sde'or, or Imrich Lichtenfeld, as he was named originally, was born on May 26, 1910, to a Hungarian Jewish family in Budapest, but grew up in actually in Bratislava, which is Slovakia's capital. He was a natural athlete due to the influences of his father. Imi became a very successful boxer, wrestler, and gymnast, competing at both national and international levels, winning several awards in these fields. Imi won the Slovakian Youth Wrestling Championship in 1928, and a year later won the adult welterweight championship. That same year, he won both a national boxing championship and an international gymnastics championship. For the next decade, he earned a place as one of the premier wrestlers of Europe. Besides sports, Imi would also be known for his abilities on the dance floor. John Bierman noted in his book that Imi won an award for ballroom dancing in Bratislava. So, as you can understand, he is a man that was very impressive physically. Imi's greatest influence was his father, Samuel, who was a police officer, self-defense instructor, and a former circus acrobat. Samuel started as a circus acrobat and wrestler, but later entered the police department and served for 30 years as chief detective inspector on Bratislava police force. He became well known for his impressive arrest record and capturing particularly dangerous criminals. Samuel Lichtenfeld also owned Hercules, which was Bratislava's first gym, where many activities were taught, including self-defense. In the mid-30s, fascist and anti-Semitic groups began to harass and assault the Jews of Bratislava. Nazi Germany has turned Europe into a battlefield and made it perilous for any Jew to walk around it. So Lichtenfeld organized and led a group of boxers and wrestlers who took to the streets to defend their community against the growing number of Nazi thugs. This group attempted to block the anti-Semitic gangs from entering the Jewish quarters. Encountering many street fights, almost on a daily basis, and usually with multiple opponents, Imi quickly learned that the aggressive and brutal nature of street fighting was quite different from competitive combat sports. It required a different mindset and different techniques. Imi understood that sports had little in common with real combat and began developing a system of techniques and practical self-defense in life-threatening situations. Imi said in an interview to People magazine that he began fighting anti-Semitism in the 1930s. When the Hitler Youth gangs used to single out Jewish young men on the streets, it was either hit or run. He also said that he found the hitting more satisfying. After that, in May 1940, Imi gained passage on a ship called the Pencho, which was brought and modified by the clandestine group of Jews set on escaping Nazi occupation to British-occupied Palestine. During World War II, Imi served with a Czech exile regiment, which he joined after being rescued from Pencho's shipwrecks on the Greek Dodecanese Islands in the Mediterranean by a British destroyer. Most of his family died in the Nazi gas chambers. Eventually, however, he arrived in Palestine in 1942. At his arrival, Israel's early leaders recognized Emmy's fighting abilities, and in 1944 he began training fighters in his area of expertise: physical fitness, swimming, wrestling, use of the knife, and defense against knife attacks. During this period, Emmy trained several elite units of the Haganah and Palmach, which were fourth runners of the special units of the IDF, including the Palyam, as well as groups of police officers. Quoting from Emmy himself, "What I was teaching was a unique combination of judo, karate, aikido, kung fu, and boxing." Training manuals composed in the early 1940s provided a framework to train fighters and defense units. Defense, attack, fitness, and courage were the defined goals. The broad-based training framework included a variety of techniques, and the training period was planned accordingly. It appears that the scope of the training protocol was well suited to this period of the battlefield. After the establishment of Israel in 1948 and the foundation of the IDF, the Israeli government asked Emmy to develop an effective fighting system, which later became known as the Krav Maga system. The Haganah was eventually incorporated into the Israeli Defense Force, and Sergeant Emmy Lichtenfeld became the military school's chief instructor for physical fitness and Krav Maga. Emmy served in the IDF for about 20 years, during which time he developed and refined his unique method for self-defense and hand-to-hand combat. In late 1948, the term Krav Maga first began to appear in official documents, and in the 1950s, Krav Maga became the accepted term when referring to hand-to-hand combat. Although during this early period, one still finds the term Kapap or Judo Shimushi used interchangeably with the term Krav Maga. From the moment it was born, the state of Israel was at war with its neighbors. Israel needed to field an army immediately, sending soldiers into battle with minimum training and no time for a retraining or refresher courses. For this reason, combat techniques had to be easy to learn and easy to remember under stress, even if the soldier did not have enough time to train. Military Krav Maga is concerned with exploring techniques. The 1950s revisions in training protocols are recognizable as present-day Krav Maga and are distinct from previously taught material. For example, the 360-degree defense, never mentioned in previous documents, makes its appearance in 1960. In 1964, after 20 years of service, Emmy was honorably retired from the Israeli army. He then opened a couple of schools and began adapting and modifying Krav Maga to civilian needs. We can identify this moment in history as the first revolution or evolution of the Krav Maga. The method was formulated to suit everyone, men and women, boys, girls, anyone who might need to save their life or survive an attack while sustaining minimal harm, regardless the nature of the attack, whether it's criminal, nationalistic, or other. Back then in Israel, the needs of civilian Krav Maga were different from today in Israel or anywhere else in the world for that matter. As previously mentioned, Emmy established two training centers, one in Tel Aviv and another one in Netanya. He trained teams of Krav Maga instructors who were accredited by him and the Israeli Ministry of Education. The first non-military Krav Maga course for trainers and instructors was held in the early 1970s. At this point, there were several techniques at each level and almost zero theory in the classes. There weren't really any connections between the techniques and no variations, no simulations. We must remember that Emmy showed the way. He was genius in giving the most efficient and intuitive solutions to any specific problem. It was very much a problem-solution point of view, problem and solution. In order to lend an appropriate structure to the increasing popularity of his self-defense system, Emmy and several of his students also founded the Israeli Krav Maga Association in 1978. This was made aiming to promote Krav Maga's unique techniques locally and throughout the world. The members of the IKMA appointed Emmy president for life. As he got older, he increasingly withdrew from IKMA leadership, and high-ranking instructors left the organization to explore new avenues. Eli Avigzar, one of the first black belts in Emmy's system, established Krav Magen, and Chaim Zot established the Krav Maga Federation. In December 1995, a number of high-ranking black belts and direct students of Emmy's, Avi Moyal, Gabi Noah, Eyal Yanilov, and Eli Ben-Ami, established the International Krav Maga Federation to popularize Krav Maga outside of Israel. Emi's attitude towards this new direction was positive, and he supported these startups because he thought it more important to provide people with methods of self-defense and self-protection rather than pursue personal goals. Even during his last years, Emi continued to personally supervise the training of those who have attained higher ranks in Krav Maga and to spend time with the instructors in Israel and abroad. Emi monitored the trainees' progress and achievements, captivating them with his personality and imparting them with his knowledge and experience. He personally oversaw the training, performance, and progress of the top Krav Maga graduates until the end. Emi's pragmatic approach and his experience had a major influence on his system, and he worked on improving and optimizing Krav Maga, particularly for civilian use, until he passed away on January 9th, 1998, at the age of 88. Today, we can find many different Krav Maga associations around the world. Eyal Yanilov left the IKMF, which is now run by Avi Moyal, and founded Krav Maga Global. Gabi Noah founded International Krav Maga, IKM. And of course, all these organizations, not only, but all of them developed substantial progress using Krav Maga. They're known as the largest Krav Maga organization in the world, that teach Krav Maga internationally to public authorities, military units, security services, bodyguards, and of course, civilians. The Krav Maga system continues to evolve and thereby adapts to the most current and constantly increasing aggressions and resulting threats around the world. In contrast to other self-defense or combat sports systems, Krav Maga is not only characterized by elegance, aesthetics, and fairness, but by its easy-to-learn techniques. These techniques are practiced under pressure and under stress and must be based on natural reflexes and behaviors because no matter what happens, giving up is never an option. Emi Lichtenfeld fought for peace in his world. Although Emi was a fighter, his ultimate desire was that his people may find peace. He'd spend his life struggling to make that desire come true. He took all he learned from martial arts, street fighting, military, and melded it all into one system for the average person so that all could walk in peace. We thank you, Emi. So that's it for now, guys, at the Krav Maga Experts podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned, keep connected, find us on Spotify, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, the Krav Maga Experts podcast. You can find the transcript of this episode on our Facebook page. Follow us and be the first to know about our new contents.